of my fortune while preaching around Colorado some time ago to be entertained at a strange hotel called Seven Keys to Baldpate. Has anyone ever been there? Upon the walls were literally hundreds, if not thousands, of keys sent from everywhere and by every person. The keys were invented many years ago. In fact, 4,000 years ago, keys were being used in ancient Egypt. Locks of great antiquity have been in use there all of that time. In fact, today, if you walk down one of the older streets of Cairo, you will find them using the same old pin keys, which is the basis for our keys today. Door keys, auto keys, trunk keys, bag keys, attaché cases, for desks, safe deposit, prisons. Oh, how many keys there are tonight. Men that are the keepers of the keys. And they call them the warden or the turnkey. I saw in a paper and heard over the radio of a young lady that was the daughter of the warden. Did you hear that? Recently, who was talked out by the prisoner of her keys. He told her he loved her and she was the sweetest, darlingest, most angel, precious that ever lived. And she finally turned the keys over to him, and he persuaded her he was not a bad sort at all. And after he was out, the poor girl, she's in jail now, gave the keys to him, and he let his pals out. One's been recaptured and the other's still at large. There's the warden's keys, the handcuff keys, the letter bag keys, the portfolio keys, the railway points and switch keys, the showcases in the museum, the filing cabinets for steel furniture, the spare wheel key, the toolbox key, the gas and electric meter key. Locks were fitted on military trunks used in the Great War. Locks, they tell me, they have for the lids of milk cans now. We never use those in the farm. But, beloved, with all your keys, I have found the key to paradise. You notice that the key that I have here, the skeleton key which I hold in my hand, is very plain. And so with the cross. It's cut very plainly, like a skeleton key. A skeleton key is supposed to fit any ordinary door. The cross of Christ will fit every door of every heart. Amen. And fling it wide. May I show you these seven keys? Number one, salvation. Can you see it? The key of salvation. A deep, blood-dyed, crimson key is on my ring here. And to me, salvation has opened up a vista of vast glory and work and blessing. Because salvation came to me, I'll be telling you shortly in the story of my life, before I was 18 years of age, it changed everything. The key of salvation inserted in the lock of divine grace turned the tumblers and opened the door. Glory to God, I'm saved tonight through the blood. Have you found the key? If not, by all means, while you're adding to your collection of keys on your ring, add salvation. Secondly, I found the key of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this is the golden... Bring the divine healing to you. It is the golden key of fire. Brother, if you've been converted, and if you've been converted, sister, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the baptism of the Holy Ghost is next in order. Oh, thank God for the fire. Thank God for the glory. You said, Sister MacPherson, the keys that you hold in your hand and are jingling just now, I understand will open anything from a typewriter to a back door to a front door to a spare tire and so forth. What will the golden key of the Holy Ghost open? Oh, beloved, if you will use this key and turn it, amen, it will open to you a vista of power for service, power to preach, power to pray. joy, power to testify, flames of fire upon the coldness of your soul that will set you ablaze for God. To me, the world is my next-door neighbor. I never think of the Belgian Congo or South Africa as a foreign place. These are my brothers, my sisters. These shot and shell is falling upon my missionaries or near them. God protect them tonight in China. But they have the key. The key of the Holy Ghost. And as they're preaching, as many as 75 are running to the altar, they tell me, at one time. Divine healing is another key that you should have upon your key ring. Everyone here who's ever been healed, say amen.
Amen.
How many know that you've been healed? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. What does this open? I'll tell you, it'll open the leg irons and the handcuffs and the wheelchair and the hospital door for you. If you look to the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world, look to the great physician, Jesus Christ. He absolutely is not only the key of paradise, but he has a key for your healing. Amen? Invalids, sick, shut in the dungeon of despair, all you need to do is ask him. He'll give you the key. What a pity to be locked outside. Have you ever seen anyone lose their keys? Have you ever, I have, stood at your front door with embarrassment rolling over you and just, oh, I've left the keys. I locked the door on them. Is there anyone here who knows how to climb in the back window? It's a homey little American, I guess, worldwide thing to happen to folks. And then, did you ever accidentally shut the door of your car, one of those that had these catch locks on it, and the keys were inside? And you had to skin your arm by putting it in under the little opening for the wind to come through at the front, and you had to try and work, and you'd get a piece of stick, and you'd get a wire, and you'd fish for that key. Oh, brother, if you would only take the key of divine healing, the Lord can let you out of your misery and your suffering. You say, sister, isn't that really now between you and the gatepost? Isn't that rather a fake? Absolutely not. I've been praying for the sick myself a great many years, 16 years, right here in Angela's Temple. And I know God answers prayer. People are sitting here who used to be epileptics for 20 years, instantly healed by using the key of divine healing. For the Lord speaks in his word. He says, I have the keys of death and hell. Amen. Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. He can let you out of that living death. And another key. Glory to Jesus is the key of the second coming. Have you heard the news that the Lord is coming back to earth again? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us he shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. He shall appear in the clouds of glory, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, do I need a key for the second coming? You certainly do. You want to be ready. I want to be ready. And if the Lord should come just now, would he find you with the key, the resurrection key, living, loving, serving him? Now, I have four keys here in my hand. I'll take the key of tithing next Sabbath. Bring them all, Rob. The key of tithing. You say, sister, is that an important one? Yes, it certainly is. That's the brown key because I've caused them to make it so because of the earth that brings forth bountifully to God's people. How many persons listening to me over the radio or here in the temple tonight ever tithe? Would you put your hands up? A good many don't. Some don't know what tithing is. It's giving one-tenth of your gross income from any or whatsoever source to your church, not giving it to a beggar or to charitable enterprises, that's extra. But your tithe is to be brought without any strings upon it, how it's to be spent, to the church for its own carrying on according to God's word. Beloved, if everyone really tithed, wouldn't it be marvelous? Collections would be unknown. A box would be kept. Everyone would go to that box and put in the tenth of their salary, tenth of their total income. One says, well, couldn't I take my rent out first and my taxes? No. One-tenth of all. Oh, I couldn't afford it, brother. You can't afford not to. You cannot afford withholding your tithes. For God tells us that the man who tithes will be blessed in store, blessed in his field, blessed in his health, until he overflows. And the $9 will go further than the $10. Thank God for tithing. You say, do you mean to say that's the key to power? I absolutely do. I can speak from personal experience, as many others here can join in speaking, in saying that if you begin to systematically, prayerfully, carefully tithe, God will bring in your tuition for school. He will bring in your clothing. He'll bring in your rent. He'll bring in a position. I would be myself, and I'm not of a superstitious nature, I hope you won't consider it so, but I would be desperately afraid not to tithe. For some time ago, some years ago, I lifted my hand to heaven, and I said, God being my judge, I will give one-tenth of I will set aside one-tenth of everything that comes to me to be given back, not for a specified purpose, but to the church. And besides that, I'll give my offering. I feel as though if I went back on that, or if the business manager who is also my personal manager should withhold those tithes, some grievous illness or some accident or some great loss would be sustained by me. I believe God heard me when I pledged the tithe. Do you agree with me? All right, the next key is the key of prayer. Thank God for the key of prayer. Have you ever used it? How many here have ever prayed? Say amen. How many have had a prayer answered? All right, that's a lovely key. Green pastures lie just beyond the door, which you will open. Hallelujah. Are you in trouble? Pray about it. Are you in need? Pray about it. Are you lonely? Pray about it. Have your loved ones gone away and left you all alone? And from your side, at least, you think you're right and they're wrong. And if separation and killing you, keep on praying about it. And if at first your prayer isn't answered, just pray a little longer. I'll tell you, that key is absolutely able to open the door. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is a power. You say, well, I get right, because the world was on the very brink of war. 'Twas said that only a miracle could save the world. And suddenly, kings, presidents, potentates called upon everyone to pray. The king and queen of England led the way into the chapel of their palace and, kneeling side by side, prayed. Then went out and were fitted for gas masks, came back in and prayed again. Our Bible students of the morning school met on the top floor, the fifth floor, of the LIFE Bible College. It was an impressive sight. I called all those who were either born in a foreign country or their immediate ancestors to step to the front. There was a great many. And there under the open heavens, looking up into the clouds, we lifted our hands and prayed for peace, as people did everywhere. Beloved, I believe God answers prayer. And then my last and seventh key is praise. Many may express surprise, but I would consider praise a key to power. How many people ever like to be praised? Is there anyone here that doesn't like somebody to give you a good word and say, oh, you did well. I like that sermon. That was a sweet sermon. It wasn't a lot of fal-de-rol, but it was just simple and straight and direct to the heart. Oh, I like that. And I go home just kind of swallowing a big lump in my throat, and I say, isn't that lovely? Someone appreciates me. Someone knows that I thought and prayed before I entered the pulpit. And I try never to let a person pass me without giving a little tiny word of praise. You played beautifully, sister, tonight. Students, your uniforms are lovely. I like your caps. Ushers, you're doing fine. Sunday school teachers, keep up the good work. A little praise. But, beloved, I'm speaking of praise to God. There's power in praising God. Why, you ask? Because our Bible tells us the Lord inhabiteth the praises of his people. When ancient Israel went forth to war, the Lord instructed them to send the choir ahead of them. And the choir went out and sang praise to God and beat upon their tambourines. And by the time the soldiers had moved up into position, the enemy were either dead or frightened clean away. A certain city on a hill was once surrounded, and it had been for many weeks entirely shut off from the world. Food was gone. Water supply was at an end. Cattle had been killed for food. Bullets and ammunition was practically gone. They would have to run up the white flag this day. And of all days in the year, it was Thanksgiving Day. So someone said, well, being as we have to surrender anyhow, we've been besieged here so long, suppose we ring the church bells and call everyone to come to church. We'll just throw our troubles overboard, like poor old Czechoslovakia. Let's ring the bells and have one good church service anyhow. So the sexton sprang to his task in every church. Even the city, the town hall, began to ring. Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong. Praise God, praise God. And the people began to sing. Praise God from whom all. And outside encampment, heard the bells, heard the singing. Utter consternation filled the ranks that were serried row upon row. And they said, ooh, someone has come to the aid. They must have digged a tunnel underneath and come up. Why, they'd never ring the bells and praise the Lord like that unless they're free. And they turned and fled to a man. Beloved, praise ye the Lord. When you're so discouraged you don't know what else to do, start in to praise the Lord. You say, well, I don't feel like it. That's all the more reason to praise him. We do not praise God because we feel like it, but because he's worthy. You say, well, I have to force it. That's all right. The Bible says put on praise. It doesn't say put on anything else much, but put on praise as a garment. Start in right now, everybody. Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now, some of you didn't say it. Now, if you put your hand up, it will help you. Come on, Radioland. Everyone, praise the Lord. Once more, praise the Lord. That was heard in heaven. And so, seven keys to power. They're yours for the asking. Never again reach in your pocket book or your pocket for your key ring. But you remember my message tonight. Not me necessarily, but remember what I said about keys. Remember that the Lord says he's given us the key. And whoever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whoever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Some of you people are bound. Bound by sin. Bound by nervousness. Bound by bashfulness. Let the Lord take the key, will you please, and set you free. Bound by sin, bound by backsliding, bound by the fear of what people will say, I found the key to paradise. Will you use it tonight? Let him in. He is at the door. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, and our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, thou who dost have the keys of death and hell, hast taken them from the enemy, bound them to your own girdle, and have gone about doing good and setting the captive free. Lord, move in these aisles tonight of Angela's temple and set free thine own dear children.